Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter.com/Joy Keys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Also, send me an email. I would love to hear from you. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@Hotmail.com. I want to say thank you to all the fans and listeners. I really appreciate your support. We're past 700,000 downloads of the podcast. Wow. I mean, could not have done that without you. So just thank you, thank you, and thank you. And just, you know, I hope that you enjoyed them, and I hope they were helpful and you shared them with friends and family. Again, just want to say thank you for that. Well, today I read this article in the New York Times about this group. And you guys know I'm always trying to, like, find resources for people. And it just was like, oh, my God, I got to talk to these guys about this group because it's so important. There are two doctors that created the group. It's at the University of North Carolina. And they're really trying to help fathers, not who have cancer, but who were affected by cancer because their spouse or partner passed away. You guys know I do a lot of shows about cancer, and I usually have a survivor on, but I don't usually have the surviving family people on. And so I think this is a really important aspect that people really just don't think about. They only think about the person who had the cancer, per se, and not necessarily the family who's left behind. So they have a group called Single Fathers Due to Cancer, and this morning the co-founder, Dr. Justin Yap, is on the line. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
I am wonderful. I'm here in Philadelphia. You're in North Carolina?
Yep, we're in Chapel Hill, University of North Carolina, and I really appreciate you having me on this morning and giving us a chance to talk about our program.
So now, you're a psychologist, and what did you see a lot of men coming to you about this issue? What sparked the need for this? Because you are unique, and there I don't know of another, and you even say that you don't, you're not aware of another group like this. What sparked this?
So this started, so I'm a psychologist at the cancer hospital at University of North Carolina, and we had, a few years ago, we had a kind of just a turned out to be a group of young ladies, young mothers with stage four cancer. And in working with them clinically and providing them supportive therapy, it became, you know, very clear to us that what was most important to them and really what most affected their treatment decision-making and everything else was concerns about their children and about their husbands, and really concerns about after they passed away. And that wasn't surprising, but it still struck us that, you know, during the final months of these women's lives, what they were really concerned about was not being there for their kids and how their children and how their husbands would cope after they passed. So after these women passed away, we started talking and wondering, you know, thinking about the dads and wondering what was available for them in our community. And so I looked around locally and found out there was really nothing that really met their needs, or no support groups, no organizations that were available for them. And then we looked nationally and internationally and pretty soon discovered that the needs of widowed fathers whose wives had died from cancer and who are raising children in the home had really just been completely overlooked, both in what was available clinically and what had been looked at research-wise. So from that, my partner, Dr. Rosenstein, and I decided to meet with some of the husbands whose wives had died that we'd worked with, and met with them, and they predictably were having a really hard time, not just the normal grieving process, but really figuring out, you know, how to be a single parent while grieving and how to be a single parent to a grieving child. And it was just a lot. It was something that they – I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's a really difficult issue, I think, for men and our society in general, no matter how – progressive we think we are, a lot of times, unfortunately, the caretaking aspect is you see caretaking equals woman. You don't even see caretaking equals man. So you got a double whammy of you have a loss of a partner that you hope to spend the rest of your life with, or even if you weren't married but you still didn't want them to die and you hope to be with them for a long time. So there's emotional issues, which, again, emotions usually equal women. Emotions and men, there's like this weird, I don't even know what the symbol will be, because it seems guys have difficulty, you know, figuring out what their emotions are. And then you have the caretaking. So it's like double whammy, you know.
So these guys were in a really tough spot and didn't really have anyone that they knew that was in their shoes, and anyone that they felt could be, you know, as a premier support system. And a couple of the fathers in our support group that we started said that they went to other grief, you know, support groups, but that it was usually populated by older people and by women. And you know, these guys felt as 30, 40-year-old men, you know, with children in the home, that their issues were just really different than the other people. So as helpful as it was maybe in that group, it didn't feel it wasn't that connection. And so from all that, that's what we decided to start our support group, and we've been doing it for a little over 2 years now. It's about 8 guys now that come every month, and you know, they totally dispel any notion that guys can't share emotions and that guys can't talk about their thoughts and feelings. But it takes this kind of group, I think, because as you of course mentioned, the societal expectations and pressures and, you know, guys just in general, just that's, you know, talking about our thoughts and feelings and receiving that kind of support is just not something that is as easy for guys to do in our society. So setting up this specific support group, we feel, has been really helpful for them.
I love on the website, let me just mention your website, Single Fathers Due to Cancer. Very easy, Single Fathers Due to Cancer. You're also on Twitter, SFDTC, that's at SFDTC on Twitter. The videos that you have, I think, are really helpful because it puts a face, you can hear the emotion, and, you know, it's honest. That's the key point. I think guys don't like, you know, fluff and fake, especially when you're trying to ask them to share their emotions or get in touch with their emotions or anything like that. So I like the one about the wedding ring. Why don't you tell the audience about that particular video?
Yeah, so on our website, singlefathersdue2cancer.org, we created that website really as a way for other fathers who don't have a support group like ours to be able to go somewhere and feel like, okay, these people get me, or here are some guys who understand, who've been through exactly what I'm going through. So with the guys in our support group, we created these short videos. It's a series. I think it's maybe 7 of them, and they're about 3 or 4 minutes each, and they're each on a specific topic, and several of our fathers talk about them. So the one about the wedding ring is that something that came up in our support group was, you know, when do you take off your wedding ring? And it might not seem like a huge thing, but it was to these guys, because that symbolized a lot. It symbolized a lot internally. You know, am I still married? Am I not married? It symbolized a lot to other people when people would notice that their wedding ring was off or on, how their former in-laws took that. So there's just a lot of symbolism and a lot of depth in whether or not these guys were still wearing their wedding ring. So that was a constant topic that we would discuss in our group. And to be honest, that's not something I would have thought would have been that big of a thing. But after the support group, you know, these guys really taught us that mattered. And so if you go on the website, there's a, like you mentioned, a 3 or 4 minute video where all the guys talk about their experiences and when they took off their rings, why they took them off, and how just that process was for them.
Another great thing, another video that you have is wonderful. You just now, you're a clinical psychologist, went to school to learn all about us humans and what's happening inside of us. You were surprised. No, seriously, I mean, that's what you go to school for. And you yourself got surprised that this was so important, this wedding ring aspect was so important. So what? Another thing that I really liked is that you have a video for the PCP or the professional, for the doctor, to teach them, you know, how to deal with this issue. It's an educational video for cancer providers. And I think that is great, because sometimes you guys, I mean, you know, you guys can be kind of, how do I say, arrogant, rude, don't listen to us patients. don't hear me. I don't feel like you. And you guys always say, well, I can't really appreciate that. And, you know, and sometimes the patient wants to strangle the doctor, like, ah, you went to school. Why don't you understand me? You know.
But yeah, no, that's a huge thing for these guys. And, you know, and that's something about, you know, death from cancer or being a widow due to cancer that may be a little bit different is that, you know, for all the guys in our support group and for most cancer deaths, you can anticipate it and you can see that coming. But that really requires, you know, honest, upfront, frank conversation with the oncologist. And we thought it was important for oncologists to realize the absolute centrality of being a mom and how to these mothers and how that really affected their treatment decisions. And that's borne out in the research that young women who are mothers opt for more aggressive treatment that gives them even a small chance for cure as opposed to more palliative treatment. Because the thinking behind that is that, you know, leaving their kids and leaving their husbands or partners is just, it's just scary as anything. And they want to do whatever they can to not leave their children. So how that plays out for these guys is that, you know, often, you know, their wives had gone through really, really tough treatment because they were trying whatever they could to live. And that increased their caregiver demands. It increased what they and their children saw as, you know, in terms of seeing their mother deteriorate health-wise. So these, you know, these guys are not coming into their widowhood, you know, without a lot of history coming into it, and that's really what makes death from cancer and widowhood from cancer maybe a little bit different than other causes of death.
What other surprising things did you learn in holding the group over the last couple of years? You talked about the wedding ring, that being kind of a surprise. What other things came like, wow, really? That's something that I didn't think about that.
Well, you know, we started this group thinking that Dr. Rosenstein and I would spend about the first 30 minutes of each group kind of, you know, telling or teaching these guys or talking, you know, almost leading a didactic presentation on different issues of widowhood or single parenthood, and then spend the rest of the time for a group discussion. But that plan was pretty much thrown out the window after the first meeting because we realized, we realized right away that these guys have more to learn from each other and really, frankly, had more to teach us about their experiences than we had to teach them. And so we kind of changed the model with the, you know, we talked about it with the guys and said, you know, here's what we're thinking, but now we're thinking maybe we should switch it to where we just spend all the time on group discussion and we help facilitate that, but that really that they choose the topics, they choose what's important to them, and then we've really learned from them. And that's exactly how it's unfolded. So the guys in the group have certainly taken ownership of it, and Dr. Rosenstein and I have helped facilitate it, but they've really led the way.
So now have you gotten calls from any other universities or just places like the American Cancer Society to say, hey, we'd like to use your model here? Have you gotten any calls? Like I said, I noticed or found out about you through the New York Times article.
Yeah, so there has been some interest, and you know one of the challenges is that there is no, you know, national organization for young widowed fathers due to cancer or anything else. So it's hard to reach these guys. It's hard to reach fathers, and you know they're really not connected to the hospitals any longer after their wives die. So there's no easy way to reach them. So that's been hard to kind of get things going. But with the piece in the New York Times that caught your attention and frankly being on shows like yours, that's really helping us reach these guys, and it's helping us reach providers. So we have received some interest from since the New York Times piece. We've received some interest from Memorial Sloan Kettering in New York, up in Seattle and some other places. And we on our website, there's a place where fathers who visit it can, if they're interested in joining a support group in their area, they can put down their email address and zip code, and then that comes to me. And then once we get a critical mass of, you know, say, you know, at least 5-10 people in a certain area, then if there's no one in that area that's reached out to us to start a support group, then we're going to reach out to someone in that area and say, hey, look, we got 5 or 10 guys that want to get together and start a support group. Are you willing to try? So that is absolutely
what
we aim. Yeah, that's
yeah. I mean, that's great. That's why I wanted to have you on, because I know that it can be difficult. I did. I'll let you know that I sent to different cancer organizations that have been on the show, and I sent to them so that, you know, because again, like, there's cervical cancer, there's breast cancer, there's colon cancer. I mean, there's all different types of cancer, and depending on the cancer, like breast cancer, you know, we when you know men can also die of breast cancer, but again, they talk about the father being left behind. Let's talk about the kids issue, because again, we go back to women caretakers, women maybe being the ones, you know, sitting with the kids. Maybe the father is out working, or just even if both parents are working, it still seems to fall a lot on the mom. What discussion has come up about how to deal with kids, homework, emotions, just the grief? What have the fathers brought to the group and shared with you about dealing with this?
Well, that's what binds these guys together. You know, this isn't just simply a men's group, but it's a group of fathers. So what they have in common is that they all have children who are, you know, who are grieving their mother's loss and figuring out how to deal with that. And that, you know, all the guys have had challenges around holidays, around Mother's Day, which of course is coming up next week, around their wife's birthday or even the death anniversary. How to commemorate those, really how to talk to their kids, and what the research shows and what we've talked about with the guys is, you know, what really helps children do the best that they can do during this time is if they're provided as stable a home as possible. Now, that's a lot easier said than done during this time.
Right.
If the fathers can be emotionally available and provide warmth to them, and to keep things, you know, to maintain discipline at home and to keep things as normal as they could be. And there really is no normal for a long time. But that's the goal. But to answer your question a little more directly, these fathers have, you know, it's been a struggle at times because their children are grieving the loss of their mother, and they see their kids or their friends who all have their mothers, and you know, they see movies and TV shows in which the kids have their mothers, and reminders of what they've lost are, of course, all around. And no matter, you know, there's no way to fix that. So there's only, you know, what these dads can do to make things better and, you know, to provide a brighter future for their kids. And, you know, it may just be that, you know, these eight guys that we work with are just amazing, but
You're making an impact based on the videos I've seen, and that even though it may seem small, it's definitely growing, and it's something that's needed. And then not only are you impacting the fathers, you're impacting the children then are impacting the rest of the family, you know, and then you're impacting providers by creating that educational video for providers on to how to handle, you know, the cancer patient. So it's like this ripple you have. So even though it's only eight that maybe you visually, physically see, trust me, I believe that it's greater than the eight, because those eight people around them will see the change in them and how they're dealing with the grief. You know what I mean?
Yep.
They'll see that, and that will affect them. You know, because like you said, the parent in-laws, you know, when the guy takes the ring off, you know, what is his relationship then with his old, now what we consider, you know, in-laws from before? You know, what is that relationship? Is it gone? Is it still there? You don't love my daughter anymore? I mean, it makes them maybe deal with their grief. Maybe they weren't dealing with it. And then when he takes the ring off, it's like, oh, no, I got to deal with my stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and, you know, we've had some fathers say that once they took their ring off, that their in-laws, you know, that's kind of like a final, you know, almost a final kind of stake in the heart in a way, that really kind of symbolizes that they're not married to my daughter anymore. And the whole issue of negotiating with your in-laws, you know, it really starts with, what do you call them? Are they still your in-laws? Are they your children's grandparents? I mean, you know, the whole, even just the basic terminology of how you relate to them has changed, not to mention, you know, the whole dynamics and the whole relationship. So there's really a lot that goes into this, and it struck us 2 or 3 years ago as a real gap in the clinical service arena and in the research arena, that the experiences and issues that these guys face has really not been addressed and really not been looked at. So we are starting to change that, at least locally, and now with the website, we're We're hoping to have a much more national reach.
Well, I want to give kudos to you and Dr. Rosenstein for starting the group. I want to mention again, I think I gave an error in your Twitter hook. Your Twitter hook is actually at, well, you tell them. Go ahead.
Let's see. So it's at F. See, now I'm messing up. It's at SFDTC_UNC. So that single file due to cancer underscore University of North Carolina. But it's SFDTC_UNC. And our website is singlefathersduetocancer.org. And I would encourage any of your listeners, whether they're widowed fathers or know someone who is, just to visit the website. It's not a commercial website in any way. It's just to provide support, information, resources, and those videos for fathers who are out there. So I would love for any of your listeners to take a look at the website, see if they can find it helpful.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, and I wish you much success. I've tried to tweet about it and Facebook about it and put it on LinkedIn and send it to different places, so I wish you success, and thank you for helping these fathers, because, again, I think it'll be a ripple effect, not only the father, the children, and then the larger family, the extended family, and even the places where they work. Those people will see the change in them, so thank you.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity to come on today and talk with your listeners, and I really appreciate you reaching out to us, so thank you so much.
Okay, you have a wonderful weekend, okay?
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Just got off the phone with Dr. Justin Yap. He's the co-founder of Single Fathers Due to Cancer. Again, check out their website, which is singlefathersduetocancer.org. Again, singlefathersduetocancer.org. They are on Twitter at SFDTC_UNC. They're based out of the University of North Carolina. They have some wonderful information for fathers, dealing with your children, and for professionals. And you have they have a contact feedback form that you can put your email address in, reach out to them to get more information, or to try to do the same thing in your area if you're in California or Texas or Oklahoma. And I'm sure there's single fathers there that lost their spouses or partners to cancer. They need a group. So if you're listening, maybe you'll be the one to start it. You can follow me at Joy Keys on Twitter, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Also, send me an email. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. I want to thank you again for your support. The next podcast is going to be on May 8th, actually May 8th, which is a Wednesday, and I'll be speaking with Landau from America's Got Talent. He's like the black Frank Sinatra. So you're going to have to tune in for that May 8th at 7 p.m. Eastern. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful Saturday.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said, you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps, so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.